the solemn approach to the podium begin. Good morning, church. It's quiet down, everybody. Sermon's about to start. Ooh, should have grabbed a bottle of water. Did you go get me a bottle of water? Thank you. Somebody? Thank you. Appreciate it. Normally, I would come to serve and not to be served, but time is of the essence, and I probably shouldn't walk off. So, it's great to be back in the podium here today. I haven't preached in a while. I had some life drama that came up. Many of you are familiar with. We lost my mother at the beginning of December. Mike graciously stepped in. In more regards than that, Lee, as well, I have the first slides about that. But it's good to be back. It's good to be back. It was good to be able to put a sermon together and be thoughtful about this. The sovereignty of God and the way that we see God weaving our lives in ways we don't understand at the time. And it's just one of those things. And this was a wonderful passage to dwell on that. We're going to talk a little bit today about some conspiracy that's beginning as we see Jesus' ministry transitioning away from a time of teaching into kind of a time of survival in some regards. The instructions we give to our loved ones change dramatically depending on the situation sometimes. We're going to see that as we see Mark 13. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it, brother. As we see Mark transition from 13 and beyond, from, hey, let me tell you a little bit about how we do this, to there's not time. Put your finger here. Hold that. I'm going to try this. It's an emergency. Things change as we see Christ moving towards his time on the cross, which, of course, isn't a surprise to him, but still is very much a surprise to his disciples, right? They're probably confused, still trying to figure out which way's up. Put a cap on that chest in case. She's a little warbly. So anyway, let's go ahead and dive in. We'll read the scripture. It's only 11 verses, and then we'll talk about it. So if you're following along, Emma can probably drive this so I can just look at the screen. It was now 2 days before the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to arrest him by stealth and kill him. For they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar from the people. And while he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, and as he was reclining at table, a woman came with an alabaster flask of ointment of pure nard, very costly. And she broke the flask and poured it over his head. There were some who said to themselves indignantly, why was the ointment wasted like that? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they scolded her. But Jesus said, leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, and whenever you want, you can do good for them. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial. And truly, I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her. Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priests in order to betray him to them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought an opportunity to betray him. Let's pray. Lord, it can't help but stand out when we read these 11 verses. The capstone on either end of this verse is betrayal. In the midst of an extravagant display of love, which we're going to talk about here, Lord, in the midst of this, we see it surrounded by the world striving to destroy Jesus, to kill him. Not just tarnish his name, they seek to kill him. They can't have it anymore. He's too disruptive to the world that they've put together, that they've built for themselves, Lord. I pray as we study this world, this word today, and we think about our world and the world around us, Lord, that we could be considerate of the things that the Word of God may seek to upset in our world around us, and that we can steel ourselves and be prepared for that onslaught when they seek to kill our faith and our belief and stop us from loving extravagantly. Thank you for this time together. It's in your son's name, I pray. Amen. All right. Here we go. Happy New Year, everybody. It is indeed 2021. In many regards, good riddance to 2020. There were some wonderful things that happened in 2020. My sister